This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, July 6, 2025. First things first, first steps.
Wow. Connection Church. Wow. Here we are. Here we are. If this is your first day here in person or online, special welcome to you. We have something in common because it's my first day too. But the rest of you, this has been a long time coming. Like us, you've been anticipating this and waiting and watching and praying and maybe sweating a little bit and all that stuff, right? We're finally here. And I have been so blessed, Emily, as well, to learn your story over the past few months, hearing from your amazing founding pastors. Carrie and Alan have shared with us so much about your adventures. I've heard from a lot of you stories. I know there's a lot more stories to hear still, but it is so clear this is a very special church with a very special story. All churches are special. I've served some amazing churches, but there's a wonderful uniqueness to the journey you've been on to bring you to this point. God has moved mountains for your congregation, amen? God has done miracles. God has led the way, and he gets all the glory, amen? Amen? It is not lost on us what a big change this is for you, for us. What a big transition this is. It is not lost on us. And one of the big things I've just been praying and asking is, how do we do this, Lord? How do we do this? Let me rephrase that. How do we do this, Lord? How do we do it, God? How do we get from there to here? How do you get from then to now? How do you get through a change like this, where God takes you into a new season and do it with faith and grace and walk in step with God? One thing I know is that if you're going to do this and be on this journey and stay in step with God and do it with faith, hope, and love, and be prepared for the new things he has, you've got to keep first things first. We've got to keep first things first, especially in times like these. And you think that would be easy to do. You think it would just come naturally, but you know as well as I do that when you're in the midst of change and there's so much going on and you're feeling so many things and there's so much to do and so many things to worry about, it's actually quite tempting and quite easy to get kind of spun out and focus on everything but the main things. It's easy to forget the primary first things when there's so many other things to worry about. And so we want to talk about keeping first things first. Today we're going to talk about taking our first steps together into this new territory. And then in the weeks to come, we're talking about first call. Emily's going to share with me a little bit about calling, talk about first priority, first love, first fruits, all the firsts, okay? First things first. On the way into worship, you got a rock. Do you have your rock? If you don't have one, there'll be a basket at the end when you need it. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but this is not so you can throw stones at the new pastor the first day. Save that for another day, okay? We're not looking at the stoning of Stephen today. That's for another scripture lesson. Today's scripture is actually from the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 3 and 4. We're looking at this story of Israel crossing over the Jordan River, and I'll tell you at the end what your rocks are for if you can just patiently hold on to those. So as we get into the word today, let me just say something about this book. When you talk about keeping first things first, this book, this is a first thing. I'm very glad, very thankful, very encouraged that at Connection Church, you understand that the word of God is not a second thing or a third thing or a fourth thing or one thing among many. It's first thing. First things first. We place our lives under the authority of this word because it's the living word of God. It's the inspired word of God. And even when it costs us, even when it's hard, even when it goes against the grain, we stand our ground on his word because it's the light unto our path. This is how we know the way to go. And this is the thing we're going to build our lives on. Amen. Continue to build our lives on. And we know that every time we open this book, we have the opportunity to encounter the presence of God in a profound way. And when that happens, transformation happens. Breakthroughs can happen. Healing and freedom and salvation can happen when we show up and experience the living God through his word. So we should be excited. I'm excited. Every time. If this is your first time coming into a church like this, God bless you. Thank you for your courage. I know that's not easy. You're watching online. You're just taking a step of faith. If you haven't really had much experience encountering God and his word, this can be the first day. But some of you, you've been doing this for a lifetime. And you know, time after time, every day it's a new day. Every chance you get to open up this word, God can breathe something fresh into your life. You don't know what he's going to do. Isn't that what's awesome? And a little scary. What are you going to do, God? What's your plan? Just open it up and let him move. Let him speak. Are you ready? You ready for the word this morning? If you have your Bible with you, some of you have it on your phone. That's great. Some of you have the book in paper. Some of you can just watch it, look at it on the screen. We're going to start with Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And it says this. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan. That's the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing over. Now stop right there at verse 1. We're gonna focus on that last phrase a little bit, crossing over. Before we do that, let's just set the stage. What is going on here? What's happening in this part of the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 3? This is a pivotal story in the Old Testament. I don't know if you ever read the book of Joshua before, if you're familiar with this part of the scriptures, but this is a major moment of transition and change for the people of Israel. All right, they are about to cross over and enter new territory. I call this a threshold moment. These are moments where we experience a very obvious change of seasons, where we're maybe literally entering new territory, stepping into somewhere we've never been, going through a change of seasons. This is about as big of a change as you can imagine for a group of people, the story that's happening in Joshua chapter 3. When we talk about Israel, let's just zoom out a little bit. Let's just get our bearings. What are we talking about when we talk about Israel? Israel was the first stage of God's rescue plan for a fallen world. When the first humans turned away from God and the world kind of spiraled into chaos and sin, God's first step of unfolding this whole story of salvation that leads to Jesus was calling one person. Who was that person he called and made a covenant with? Do you remember? Abraham and his wife Sarah, and one people, they became a family, they became a nation, the nation of Israel, right? God's first step was to call one group of people. They were set apart from all the peoples of the world, a chosen nation to be his people. And God set them apart from the world for the sake of the world. They were blessed to be a blessing. How many of you are blessed? How many of you know that the blessings you received are not just for you and me? We are blessed to be a blessing. That's how it started with Abraham and the people of Israel. God wasn't playing favorites. He wasn't just being choosy. He was saying, I'm going to begin to reestablish the connection, the relationship between God and humans with one family, one covenant, one group of people. And then over time, you know, that led to Jesus, the Savior of the world. And because of him, that way has been open to all people. So now all of us, whoever we are, whatever our background is, wherever we come from, we have the opportunity, if we just say yes to the gift of God in Jesus Christ, to now become part of God's family, right? But if you're looking at this story in Joshua, that's what's going on here. It's the people of Israel, it's God's people, and they're stepping into new territory. It's hard to overstate just how big of a transition this is for them. Think about what's going on. Think about the weight of this moment. Just try to put yourself in this story as the people of Israel are standing on the banks of the Jordan River. They're getting ready. They're looking over to the other side to what we know as the promised land. Now think about this. They had been wandering for 40 years with Moses as their leader. God rescued them from slavery, from 400 years of captivity in Egypt. This moment of crossing into the promised land was the culmination of centuries of promises and trials, generations of victories and some failures, and they got to be the ones to step foot into this new season. There was a leadership transition going from Moses. How do you compete with Moses? How do you replace Moses? What's going to go on? Now here's Joshua. God raises up this new leader. So it's hard to overstate what a big change and transition this was for God's people at this moment, this threshold moment, crossing into a place they'd never been. And you can see why this story is helpful for us to camp out in, for going through a big season of change ourselves. But even apart from that, the reality is, you know as well as I do, life is full of these kind of moments, greater and lesser ones. Like, we've all been through threshold moments in our lives where we go through a big change. Could be a graduation. Recently there were some graduations, right? It could be a marriage. It could be a new job, buying a new house, moving to a new community, becoming a parent, right? Retiring. Like, life is full of changes of seasons and these kind of threshold moments where you go, okay, there's no going back. This is a new thing. Sometimes you get thrust into these seasons without asking. Sometimes it's trials and changes and you go, there's no detour from this. I've just got to walk on. Sometimes it's something you've been praying for and hoping for and dreaming of, like, right? So we all can relate to this kind of moment, but it's especially relevant to the season we're in as a church family, right? And so what do you do? How do you go through that kind of change faithfully without, you know, getting all worked up and running the other way or turning back or shrinking back from the moment? How do you do this with faith and courage and boldness so that you can see what God has next? This story is going to give us some wisdom and some insight how we can do this together, okay? Take a look at the next verse. Let's keep going. Joshua 3, verse 2, the story continues with this. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know, listen to this, then you will know which way to go because you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. This was the holy Ark of the Covenant. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Okay. Take note of this detail in the story. As this nation crossed over, who led the way? Who was at the front of the charge? It wasn't the soldiers. It wasn't the generals, the strategists. It wasn't Joshua. It was the priests. Specifically, it was the priests carrying what? The Ark of the Covenant. Now, I know in a group like this and people online, we've got a mixture of familiarity with the Bible. Some of you are Bible scholars and you can teach me. You've been studying the Word all your life. Some of you, this is new. I mean, maybe you're hearing this story for the first time and everything in between. So if all you know about the Ark of the Covenant is what you saw in Indiana Jones, just forget what you know for a moment. Forget everything you know for a moment. Okay, love those movies. The first three, right? Forget everything you know about the Ark of the Covenant. If that's all you know is Indiana Jones and think about this. We just talked about this moment in Israel's story, what they had come through. As Moses was that leader to lead them out of captivity, and God used him to help establish this nation, he gave the people the law, right? You read about this in the first 5 books of the Bible. We call that the Torah or the Pentateuch, right? You can read about this whole new way of life they were given to be his set-apart people, to reflect God's ways to the world to say, this is what God is like. This is who God is. And one of the things that we're called to do is to build this tabernacle. You ever heard about that? The tabernacle, it was a tent. It was a really beautiful, fancy tent that they carried with them all throughout their journeys in the wilderness, right? And this tabernacle was a place where they could meet with God. You can read this if you do a Bible reading in a year, and you get a lot of details. You can get lost in the weeds. There's so much to study. But it's a very basic thing God is doing. God is trying to reestablish the relationship between people and himself. He's trying to go back to what was there in the garden. The garden was like a temple and a place to meet between gods and humans, God and humans, where we could dwell together, live together, be in communion. That was broken in sin, and God is on this plan, and this rescue plan, this salvation plan of reestablishing, reconciling humans to God. And he knows that we are spiritual as well as physical, so he is very generous and kind to meet us at our level and give us tangible ways as people to experience him. We're about to experience that in the sacrament of communion at the end of this service. God likes to give us object lessons where we can see and know and taste and see that God is good, where we can say God is with him. So God is with us. The tabernacle was a visible reminder that God was with his people. And in the center of that tent of meeting was the Holy of Holies. And in that Holy of Holies, what did you have? The Ark of the Covenant. Right? And the Ark was like a portable throne of God. And again, God was just saying to his people and to all the nation around them, I am with you. I am for you. If you trust me, if you obey me, if you walk with me, I will lead you. You are not alone. You do not fight your own battles. You do not have to write your own story. I'm leading you into abundant life. Just trust me. Just follow me. That's what the tabernacle meant. That's what the Ark of the Covenant meant. And it also was a sign that he is a holy God. Far beyond anything we can imagine, greater than we can comprehend, a holy God, but somehow in the mystery of grace, he chooses to dwell in the dust with us, okay? Anyway, so the point is, the Ark of the Covenant and the priests carrying it, they went first. They crossed over first. They led the way. How do you cross over faithfully into new territory? Let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord go before you. I know that sounds really basic. I know it's like, did I have to sit through a whole sermon to hear that point? Like, I know that's like 101. But listen, it's really easy to lose sight of that, right? You know how it is. And in times like this, when there's so much to think about, so much to do, like, whoa, Lord, all this new territory, we've never been here before. This is kind of scary. Don't forget to let God's presence go before you. We need to let him lead. That rhymed. That's good. We need to let him lead. Should have made that a point instead. Anyway, so what happens next? This verse is awesome. Verse 5. Jumping on. What does Joshua say next? He says to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Grab onto that. Write that down. This is a word to God's people. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. How do you cross over faithfully and walk in step with God into new territory, to a place you've never been before, where you don't know the way? Consecrate your life to God. What does that word mean? Sorry, sometimes we use churchy words, okay? These are good words, but if you don't know what it means, it's like, I've never used that word in a sentence. What is consecrate? Consecrate means to make something holy, to set apart, to sanctify. There's more churchy words. Let me put it like this. To consecrate your life means to fully devote the entirety of your life to God. Can I say it again? If you want to live a consecrated life, it's saying, Lord, I am fully devoting all of my life to you. And believe it or not, that's just what it means to be God's people. That's what Jesus calls us to as his followers. Not part of my life. I'll give you the part that I want to give and I'll hold on to the rest. Can we do it that way, God? My Sunday morning life, my religious life, not just part. It's not consecration. God can see right through that. Been there, done that. All of my life, God. Because why? Well, God created me anyway. Can I take credit for a single breath? I mean, can I add a single day to my life if I worry about it? My life is already His. But if I consecrate myself, I'm coming into alignment with reality that He is God and I'm not. And what, remember Romans 12:1, Paul says, in view of all His mercy, make your life a living sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing to Him. This is your true and proper worship. If you want to walk in step with what God has for you in new territory, whatever that change is, there's other changes happening in this room, very big in your life. I mean, collectively as a church, we're in a new season, but I don't know what your threshold moment might be, what your season might be, if it's causing a burden for you to think about stepping into a place you've never been, whatever that looks like, consecrate your life to God. He will lead you. And you know what happens next? This is what's so cool. God does amazing things through people who are fully devoted to Him. What's that verse in the Old Testament? The eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout all the earth, looking for people who are fully committed to Him. He will do amazing things if you give Him everything without holding back. Give Him a blank check. It's scary. It's like dying to yourself, but it's the only way to really live. Jesus preached this. This is the way. Consecrate yourself to Him, and He will do amazing things. Look at what happens in the next part of the story. We're going to jump ahead to verse 14 and move quickly here. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. So, you know, they couldn't just wade across that. This is some rushing waters. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. You just have to pretend you know how to pronounce it and it'll be okay. All right? Don't worry. There's a lot of different ways. While the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people, all the nation, all these people, thousands and thousands of people, crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing onto dry ground. Does that story remind you of anything else in the Bible? Does that sound familiar? The Exodus, when God parted the sea, this is so cool. Look at what He's doing here in this pivotal season of change with new leadership and new territory. It's like God is saying to them, hey, what I did for your ancestors, what I did then, I'm doing for you again here to remind you that I'm with you in the same way. Just like I was with you then, the miracles I've done in the past for you, I will do it again. I am the same God. I haven't changed, right? He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. People change, leaders change, seasons change. You step into new chapters of the story. God's the same. This whole book, there's one character that's consistent throughout. Everybody else is changing, generation to generation to generation. God's the main character from start to finish. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You better believe it. And so how do you get through seasons of change, crossing over? You need to remember, seasons change, but God doesn't. Seasons change, but God doesn't, okay? So they've crossed over, they're in the new territory, they're about to get started with whatever's next. There's one more thing to do to finish the story. Jump ahead to chapter 4, verse 4. Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. One cool thing in this story is that the waters didn't stop flowing, didn't get cut off to make a way until the moment the priest stepped foot in the water. You picture these guys like playing chicken with the river, like, are we just going to keep walking? Like, what's going to happen here? And just walking. And it wasn't until they took their first step into the water, and in that moment, God made a way where there seemed to be no way. Okay? They had to take that step of faith and wait on God to respond. God can do it any way he wants, but it seems like sometimes he likes to teach us those lessons. It's not always so fun to feel that. What's going to happen? You know this in your story connection. You've been through this a lot, but you take that step of faith and he comes through every time. But then, just in the same way, the moment they touched the water, it stopped flowing. After everybody was through, it was the moment the priest, the end of the line now, crossed over. In that moment, the water started flowing again. The way closed behind them. What would that have felt like? To cross over into this land you'd never been, and the water's closed, and you're going, okay, there's no going back. You know what that feels like if you've gotten married, and you wake up to the rest of your life, and you're like, there's no going back. When you have if you've had a child, and you're holding the baby, and you're going, there's no going back. You signed on that house, and you're like, okay, the rest of my life, here we go. This is going to be a long journey, you know? Here we are. Here we are. And it's like, okay, new chapter, new day. There's no going back. But what does God do? He tells them, before you finish crossing over, I want you to go back. Go to that place right where I parted the waters. You couldn't have gotten those stones unless I moved the waters. And now pick them up and set up an altar, set up a memorial, so you can have a reminder through all generations of what I've done for you. We need to set up those memorials, to set up those reminders. We need to choose our stones carefully. We choose our stones carefully when we cross into new territory, because we need reminders of what God has done in the past so that we can look at what he's going to do in the future, because more changes come. You know how it is? It's like you get through one thing and you're like, okay, we're here. And then another thing comes. And another thing. Sometimes three things come at once. We need those altars that kind of dot the whole journey of our life so you can start to look back. And all of a sudden you see all these altars to God reminding you of his faithfulness. So you can say, well, the next battle comes, when the next change comes, when the next, you know, adventure comes, I'm looking back and I'm remembering, you know what? God got me through that. So he's going to get me through this. He's going to be faithful to lead me through this too. The same God. So we need to remember to intentionally give thanks and celebrate everything God has done. And so we don't get stuck in the past. We don't dwell. We don't, because you've done this too, right? Where it's like, you're kind of just like holding on. Like, no, I don't want to go there, Lord. I like where I'm at. Don't make me change again. But you got to let him lead you into the new territory. You got to do that. But you don't forget. You celebrate. You remember. And you go, okay, Lord, what's next? What's next? How are you feeling, Connection Church? How you doing? I mean, I'm good. We're good. But I mean, what else? Like, we're excited. Some people are nervous. Some of us are wondering, what's this going to be like? Some of us are grieving. That's okay. Yeah. That's a part of the journey. We're still grieving. We've gone through a big change, you know? All of this comes with the territory. Sometimes you feel all those things at once. You do. It's okay. But let's walk forward in faith. Let's let God's word be a light into our path. And just take some of this wisdom from God's word, okay? Let it be a guide for us. Let God go before you. Let God lead the way. I need you guys to cue me because I lost my part of my notes. What's the next one? Consecrate your life to God. Yeah. Remember that seasons change, but God doesn't. And choose your stones carefully. In a moment when you come forward to receive communion, I want you to bring your rock with you. If you didn't get one on the way in, we're going to have a basket up here. You can choose your stone carefully. These aren't as big as the ones in Joshua 3. They had to carry those on their shoulders. We'd have quite a wall if we did that. So just, it's a symbol. But I want you to hold this rock. And let it be a reminder to you of all the ways God has shown his faithfulness in your life. Some of you here are going through a really, really hard time. There's something going on in your life. You're being brought into a season of change that you didn't ask for, a battle that you didn't see coming, and you're struggling. Remember how God's been faithful to you. Remember how he's been faithful. Collectively as a church, think of all that he has led us through, whether you've been here from day one or this is your day one. Let's celebrate all that God has led us through to bring us to this point. We're going to place it in a box that has been beautifully crafted for our church to be a memorial, to be a remembrance. And we're going to have this reminder. And we're going to look at it and say, you know what? All those rocks are people whose lives have been changed. All those stones are examples how God has led us through different battles and blessings and adventures. And the same God who did that is going to lead us into greater things to come. Amen? That's what we're carrying forward with us.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.